You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Joe Zagacki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Remember, if you're looking for Canes gear, you head over to Caneswear in Davie. They're on University Drive next to L'Espada's. Or check it out online, caneswear.com. Joe Zagacki is the voice for the University of Miami. He was on the call late Saturday night in Cal Berkeley. Incredible Canes comeback. They remain undefeated, number 6 in the nation. So, Joe, put us in the radio booth. Saturday night, like, what was that one of the most exciting Canes broadcasts that you can remember?
Hockey, yeah, it was great. It was, I think my mind is a maze of jumbled thoughts right now. The broadcast booth, it was, yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was, you know, I just kept thinking, you know, it's math. You keep looking at the clock and the differential, trying to figure out where do they have to be at a certain time to really stand a chance in this game. And, of course, they had a tremendous atmosphere at the game. Crowd noise was really loud. Big plays happening everywhere. So a lot of stuff's going on during the course of the game in the broadcast booth. But I think I think somewhere along the line, I mentioned the word faith. And I kind of stayed with that. Like, who has the faith? Faith is one of the greatest acts of daring that there is. Down 35-25, does anybody have faith? And certainly the Hurricanes, the players had faith, and they seem to really enjoy playing with each other, and I think they really like playing football. And I think all of that contributes to the kind of season they're having.
Yeah, Joe, if you look at my life and how my wife looks, I believe in the Lord, too. But something happened in that game.
Well, I wasn't bringing him into it, Channing. I was just trying to bring who was hanging in there.
But, Joe, I understand the faith of it. I understand sticking together. But something happened in the end of that, like mid-end of the third quarter, where it changed. I don't know if Cal got conservative with the lead. I don't know if Miami changed things. Like, what happened? Like, we've sat on a plane and talked for 3 hours before about X and O football. Like, what happened when the Canes, when they did believe in each other, they didn't give up, but there was a switch that turned on both sides of the ball, and I don't know if Cal was happy with their lead or if the Canes changed what they were doing, but it looked like the tail of two halves type part. What happened?
Well, I think there were a lot of adjustments, that's for sure, and maybe the biggest drive for Miami was down 35-10. They scored the touchdown to make it 35-18. Under the radar was a two-point conversion. But what happened in the second half, late in the third quarter, I think what happened is, one, Cal started running out of gas. Miami ran 86 plays in the game. Cal ran 49. The other thing that happened is the Miami wide receivers started winning on the perimeter. And the way, Chan, you would understand this a lot, the way they play in their secondary, it's kind of like they guard you like basketball. They were redirecting Miami receivers throughout the night. That's how they played. And then Miami kind of got the upper hand on that. The pass rush did not get home to Cam Ward, so Miami got the ball out quicker. I think that frustrated Cal and wore them down a little bit. And then Miami stayed on the field because they kept converting their third downs and their fourth downs. They were 7-for-16 on third downs. Conversely, on the other side, Miami started winning on first down, forcing Cal into more plays that were longer developing plays. That allowed them to get more pressure on the quarterback. And Miami held Cal to 1-for-10. On third down in the second half. I think it was 1-for-10 on third down the second half. So Miami staying on the field and getting Cal off the field certainly flipped things in Miami's favor, and that allowed them to put together the three touchdown drives of the fourth quarter, 75, 70, and 92 yards.
Crowder and I were talking earlier about Cam Ward. Like, he's just unflappable, right? It doesn't matter if he's got a terrible pick, if things go poorly, he just kind of keeps his head down. It's business. Crowder was saying he keeps emotion out of it. So that
Yeah, go ahead,
because I think it's pretty remarkable.
Well, I think, again, he loves playing football. He loves the challenge of football. You could see, even when Miami was, you know, in the first half, crowds really loud, and I think Miami's down 14-7, and, you know, he's clapping his hands, and he's keeping his team in it. But just as important, and Josh brought this up from the sidelines, there were a couple of drops. And he's not afraid to go to his wide receivers. As, you know, Josh said, he went right up to, I think it was Horton or George, and said, hey, you guys got to help me out. Catch the ball. And so he makes everybody accountable, and they follow him. But if you watch their demeanor on offense, I think they're very interesting. They're very dialed into their jobs. They rely on each other. They have confidence in each other. But he's the ringleader of all of it. And then I did make the point in the game. I think I'll go back to it. The other day, I wandered out in the practice field, and they were going through the 2-minute drill. And the first play of their 2-minute drill was a pass down the field to Restrepo. And I thought to myself, Joe, make a note of that someplace. When they came out in the fourth quarter at the 7-yard line, before I could say, look for Restrepo. The ball's in the air to Restrepo, and down the field he goes 77 yards. So a lot of the stuff they practice seems to work also in the games.
And Joe, that the play, the 86 versus 49, which I saw that as well, is that part of the Canes thing? Because we were talking about the thing with USF. I mean, who stayed up with him running that fast? Was that USF that ran the fast
USF,
stuff against
him?
They were running that fast stuff against him, and it seems like, I don't know if they sped up since then, but – yeah, 86 plays, and it seemed like they didn't miss a beat. Sometimes huddle teams can't go there. Are the Canes, can they do that consistently, or did they do that because they were down?
I think they had to do it because they were down. It took 86 plays to win that game. There were a lot of obstacles in that game. It seemed like every time they got down inside the red zone, there was some kind of penalty or something to thwart them and push them back. It seemed like they had to score twice all the time. Now they can play with tempo, and they can keep pressure on the opposing teams. Tempo certainly is something I think they put in the hands of Cam Ward. In fact, I think Shannon Dawson puts a lot of stuff on the shoulders of Cam Ward. It's, you know, clearly his team and his offense, and you know, they also are going to reflect his personality. He's not going to be bashful about that interception, you know, throwing it across the field. The rest of us might be aghast by it, but he said, hey, that's me. You're going to have to live with it. So that's kind of the approach I try to take with him is, when we see it in practice, he's going to make those kind of plays or maybe not make them, and just got to live with it. You take the good with the bad. There's far more good than the bad, but they can pile up a lot of plays on teams, and I also think that's kind of in the DNA of an air raid offense as well.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.